Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hoopers! Welcome back to another episode, another edition of Today in Sports Betting. I am your host, Devin Ellington, at DALE007 on Twitter. This is a hoop-ball.com presentation. Go over there to that website. Check it out. Get inundated and situated. Get in there, look at the stuff that we got for you. Free content. I talk about the transactional blurbs and such on the side every time, but you definitely got to use that, especially if you're chasing down a fantasy basketball championship right now. Very vital information. We got team coverage, box score breakdowns, DFS coverage, and then, of course, us, the wagering folks. $9.99, so 33 cents a day, less than your expensive latte. For 33 cents a day, you can have access to us in the Wager Pass. About 10 handicappers. Got two NBA guys that are hitting like right around 60%. Main man himself, Aaron Brewski, is just on an absolute tear. It's just not even computable for me. But I'm glad he's on our side, and he is doing really, really well. Blake and I handle the baseball. And then we got Joe, Mr. Joe Campisa, getting in on the golf stuff. I won a golf bet yesterday. I don't know anything about wagering on golf. So, gotta love the diversity. Diversify your portfolio. Come join the Discord with us. Gotta get in those Discord servers. Always chattering going on. As you know, we have a couple different shows sponsors. But I usually drop that in a nice recorded segment to tell you all about their stuff in the middle of the show. But I will let you know here in case you don't make it that far, which if you don't, shame on you. MyBookie.ag. You over there use promo code HOOPBALL. Get signed up. Let them know we sent you. And get some awesome, awesome customer service over there. And then Manscaped, manscaped.com. You go over there, use promo code HOOPBALL20. You're going to get 20% off. You're going to get free shipping. And you're going to get some wonderful grooming items, some great tools. And Blake, I don't know if I'm supposed to spill this yet or not, but I got a secret package in the mail. It was from Manscaped. And I'm going to do this live. I'm just going to turn my video on real quick so you can kind of get a – it's a little shocking, okay?
You're going to make me watch you use Manscaped products?
No. I'm going to show you what they did for me.
Oh, okay.
So I've used them.
I'll take that.
Lawnmower 4.0, guys. It's not even out yet. So my first experience with it was phenomenal. So all right, here real quick, Blake, and then we'll transition into the actual show. All right, so – I wish everyone could see it because it's kind of funny.
All right, gotcha.
Yeah.
Dude, sick shirt. I know. Your entire getup is awesome.
Yeah. Hair is like half up because I didn't want to wash all of it. It's Friday, you know.
So, I love that setup you got.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is a handlebar mustache for those of you who couldn't see it. And that's what I'm rocking, thanks to Manscaped. I just like doing different stuff on my facial hair because it grows so quickly. And then Manscaped has the tools to do it. And it's like Play-Doh and it works out.
That's sweet. I need to get me some of that for sure.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get the old man hair all over the place.
Yeah. I lose so much hair. I got so much hair, but I lose so much of it that it like worries me. I'm like, man, am I healthy? Like, is my liver okay?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you're saying.
How are my enzymes? Like, am I all right? So, yeah, like I said, wonderful products. Got a great show today. For those of you who didn't notice, this is Blake, at Blake LaWatch on Twitter, Mr. Co-host here over on TISB. And we get hot and heavy on the diamond. And I'm on a 5-game losing streak. I have gotten so many bad breaks lately on team totals. And yesterday I went 0-for. In the wager pass. So maybe, I don't know, transparency, but this probably won't want to get you guys to, like, it won't make you want to sign up for a wager pass hearing me talk about going 0-5 in my last 5. So, you know, it's baseball though. It's high volume stuff. It's what I mess with. And you and I both are kind of hovering in a spot we don't want to be hovering in.
It's true. Currently.
But, you know, it's the way it goes sometimes.
Bro, it's just like, yeah, like all my leans. Like yesterday, I had a lean in an early game. I didn't play it though, and it hit. And then I played a game later, and it didn't hit. And it's just, it's the picking and choosing that's going wrong for me.
Yeah. Same here. I had the Boston total over yesterday, which that completely flew. Here, I got my personal card that I hand wrote yesterday on the plays I was going to make. Yesterday was small. So I had Milwaukee Philly under 7.5. I tailed Harry Gagnon, Gas Gagnon, friend of the show from, you know, the Best Bets Corner and Odd Shark, all that good stuff. Cousin Sal and Brother Bry and the Parlay Kid, the Degenerate Trifecta podcast, Against All Odds, just real great guy. He gave out Milwaukee Philly, and I was already pretty much on it. But once he said it, I was like, oh, yeah, I got to jump on that. Toronto, Oakland, I don't know what I was thinking. For some reason, I wrote down under 8.5, and that was just stupid. And then Detroit, Boston, over 8.5. I went Kansas City minus 135, which was just – I don't know why I did that. And then my team totals yesterday was Kansas City over 4, Nationals over 4.5, Miami over 3.5. None of those worked.
Your first one hit, Brewers Phillies.
Well, yeah, that one, and then the Detroit Boston one, but no team totals hit.
Yeah.
So I incorporated those three team totals into the wager pass, and then I left the winners on the personal card. But overall, same. Just a bad day yesterday for me.
Yep, exact same story for me.
Wager pass, personal, whatever. Mm-hmm. It was just a weird day of baseball yesterday.
But it's brutal.
I think, you know, I just saw something too. I don't know if you remember him being on the show or not recently, but Giles Gallant
from I saw that, yeah.
Odd Shark also. He, I'm trying to pull it up as we speak, so bear with me. He put some numbers out in regards to his personal betting on just nothing but underdogs in the MLB.
Oh, yeah, I saw that too. I didn't realize that's what you're talking about.
And let me.
Did you see what he tweeted out today, though?
I just literally saw that.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
What? Dude.
Are you going to be sad now?
I'm already. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Well, that's like a buzzkill. You want to take the reins on the rest of the show?
Nope.
Damn. All right, so his MLB underdog report. Last night, the underdogs went 5-5 for plus 2.1 units. And since April 10th, he's played every underdog. He's 167-82, 47.9%, plus 45.1 units.
That's nuts.
So should we just blindly just play underdogs? Like,
I think that's what you do. I know our boy Doug, that's kind of his strategy. Not blindly. He obviously caps them.
Sure.
Very well, but that's his kind of philosophy, is take the underdogs because they don't have to hit as much, and they pretty much do hit as much.
Yeah.
And you get the plus money.
I just don't see why you wouldn't. At least like a couple days of the week, just to test it, just to see, to play around. Today's not the day of the week to do it, though, because G-Dog actually followed up his numbers with some other numbers. And he said, apparently Fridays is where MLB underdogs go to die. On Fridays, they're 20-38, 34.5% for minus 13.1 units.
Yeah, that's got to be an anomaly, right?
He's got actually the full days of the week right here. He's got a whole sheet. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. The only thing that I don't like about it is I feel like you have to play all of them or none of them, because picking and choosing, I feel like, is where you're going to go wrong.
Sure, sure.
Because you pick two or three of them, and those are going to be the two or three that don't hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, of course, that's the way gambling is. But that's the thing that kind of stresses me out about picking the underdogs.
Well, if you it's kind of like tonight, how many how many games are on the card? We got all the teams in action, I think it is. I'm looking. I got it up right here. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Yep. So all 30 teams. Yep. So if you take a dollar, I'm just speaking like low layman's terms here. If you just take a dollar and you put it on every single underdog tonight, so that's $15. How many of these underdogs are we going to need to hit? Because there's not a lot of like crazy big odds. The biggest I'm seeing is plus 185 for Colorado against the Cardinals. I'm curious.
Yeah. I mean, I bet you'd end up with $17 or something.
I mean, I'm just going to rattle off, like, you know, some of the underdogs we got today. Royals against the White Sox. Baltimore against the Red Sox. Detroit against Minnesota. Cincinnati against Cleveland. Arizona against the Mets.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Brewers are the underdog against Miami. Weird.
That is weird.
Toronto against Houston. And just looking at notable ones. Yeah. Plus 115 for Tampa Bay against Oakland. So, I mean, there's like some, I guess, like some decent dogs tonight.
Yeah, they're all pretty basic. Plus 130, plus 140.
Yeah, there's some like 115s, 120s in there.
Mariners are plus 100.
Yeah. Even money. That bullpen of theirs is just really, really good. Been one of the best in the majors.
Offense get going as well.
I know. And actually,
it's the story of their life.
I wrote down some notes I forgot them in the chest pocket of my flannel I wore yesterday. I'm deciding if I want to get up and get them and be unprofessional in the middle of the show. But I wrote down, you know, just like some random notes and stuff, like as I, you know, was at the diner last night and I was just kind of watching a baseball game and just gathering some thoughts because it was a rough betting day.
Man, that sounds nice as hell, being in a diner watching baseball.
Right. Yeah. And eating my French fries, drinking my sweet tea, and I'm just sitting there writing on index cards. And I wrote down no more Seattle overs as of right now because the bullpen is
for now.
Too
yeah.
Good. Yeah. I mean, it's just too good.
Dude, maybe clicking. They'll bring up Julio and Jared Kelenic, and then they'll really get it rolling.
I bet that'll be a post-deadline thing because, unfortunately, yeah, I think a couple of guys do get moved that I don't want to see get moved from Seattle. But, you know, Kelenic, man, that kid, he has a chance to be really good.
Yeah, I think I saw yesterday he hit two dingers in his first AAA game or something.
Nice. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we got AAA ball to keep track of now. Damn.
Yeah, don't quote me on that, but it's something like that.
Because the alternate training sites are no longer and actual minor league season started.
But, yeah.
I want to start with a random game and kind of getting out of whack because usually, like here on Today in Sports Betting, we just start at the top and we work our way through. But I've been looking at like notes and highlights and just like kind of stuff that I'm interested in lately too. And okay. The Cards and the Rockies, not a polarizing game, probably not one we'll bet on, I don't think. But what are the chances that Gomber comes out and just gives Arenado the golden sombrero? How cool would that be?
I don't know. Why are you going so specific on that one? What makes you
Well, those were the two pieces involved in the trade. So I was just...
Oh, Gomber was the other one? Okay.
Yeah, he was the guy St. Louis sent. So I've not been impressed with Gomber. I think it'd be kind of...
I don't know. I don't know what that relationship's like for people. I don't know if they care. Yeah.
I know Arenado's starting to hit really well recently. And his bat's starting to heat up. So when he gets hot.
Yeah, and I don't think Gomber can strike him out twice.
I wonder what Gomber's strikeout prop is. And I don't know that much about Gomber as far as like is if he's a strikeout pitch or is he a
he's middling in strikeout. He walks a lot of guys.
Okay. Like didn't know if he was like a contact pitcher, a dominating pitcher.
I think he's a get whatever you can get kind of pitcher.
Yeah.
Let's see.
K's. It's 5.5. Over 5.5 is +110.
Over 1.5 is +110. Or over 5.5?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm not taking that.
Yeah. I need to stay away from the props and stuff. They weren't treating me kind.
Yeah, I got one prop I think I'm going to put on the wager pass.
Ooh.
It's kind of got your name written all over it.
Is it Alex Dickerson?
So you can... No, not that one. No, you can narrow it down to two teams based off it being about you.
Oh, Is it someone on the Red Sox?
Yep, sure frickin' is.
Is it Franchi Cordero?
No, it's not. It's JD Martinez.
Yeah, I know. I knew who that's what it was. Franchi Cordero, talk about terrible offensive output.
Dude, and there's so much excitement around him.
I know. I talked about him in
the preview
article. I thought he was going to... But hello, Benintendi. Man, he's been... I mean, talking about former Red Sox now, but he's been like the hottest hitter for the Royals, you know, just transition from one team that I'm talking about all year to the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about those Red Sox game because I got to. And by the way, you haven't been on a show since John put some respect on my name's means through a no hitter. So we got that to talk about a little bit. That was kind of funny. I knew that was going to happen. He looked really good at the beginning of the game. And I shouted him out that day on the podcast. And he got like to the seventh inning. And I was like, he's not slowing down. And he is getting a lot of guys out. So it just kind of was something that, like you said, it's the rule. When there's a no-no going on, you watch it. And I thought it was even more just funny and ironic that it was John Means.
Yeah, it was John Means punishing my team. Should have been a perfect game, too.
Yeah, he was close to a perfect game.
Yep.
And with, man, I was reading an article, and I wish I would have wrote some of the numbers down. Because he, apparently this was like a really historical no-hitter, like some of the stuff that he accomplished within it. I mean, obviously it was Baltimore's first complete game no-hitter for the franchise. First complete game no-hitter since someone back in the 60s. So, I mean, it was a really, really nifty no-hitter. And I'm trying to multitask here because I really want to find some of those numbers because it was just a really cool article. I've almost got it. I promise. And then we can also talk about Albert Pujols today too, because that's just really sad. And
yeah, that's crazy.
Kalinic did have two home runs. By the way, I just scrolled past that.
Yeah.
Let's go. Oh, and then how about Shohei Ohtani? 10th home run. He's the first pitcher in baseball history to have 10 home runs for his team in their first 30 games. And I think it was like 50 strikeouts. So,
sheesh, yeah, he's been a monster this year.
Doing
and
stuff.
Angels still aren't very good.
Yeah, yeah, right. They've got, well, Upton's out of the lineup right now. And believe it or not, he's actually like – really important.
Yeah.
To what they do. I'm still tracking down this John Means article. All right. Here's some amazing facts. It was the most swinging strikes by an Orioles pitcher since 2008. Most single game swinging strikes on changeups for any player this season. Most in-zone swings and misses on all pitches of 2021. He had 77, which was 12 more than DeGrom's 65.
All in the zone?
All in the zone.
Wow.
Recorded the highest Fangraphs WAR, 2.3. And then... let's see. Okay, yeah, nope, that was it. That was the end of those numbers. Yeah, there. I just thought it was some really cool numbers in there.
Man, I don't know if that end zone thing says more about him or about the Mariners. Because throwing in the zone that much and they can't hit it.
And they can't. I mean, his stuff is nasty.
I mean, yeah, but I don't know.
He just has that weird movement on his two-seam, his four-seam, his cut. Like, it's just... very odd stuff.
Yeah.
The way it moves. So I'm going to, while we were talking some prospects here real quick, Blake, we'll actually get into games here soon, but I think today we just kind of want to chit chat some baseball too. You know, it's just, there's been a lot that's been happening in the league and you know, we want to talk about some fun stuff. Talk about some prospects. Adley Rutschman, number two prospect for the majors, playing in Double A. He fanned out five times in his first nine at bats of the season, but broke out slugging his first Double A homer yesterday.
Okay, yeah.
So there was that. We talked about Kalinic, Nick Lodolo, left-handed pitcher from the Reds. Had a nearly flawless debut. He's the number one prospect for the Reds. He had five scoreless innings, struck out 10. He was a first round pick in 2019. retired the last 14 batters in that matchup. So looking very, very good. And then I'm looking for some other bats. There's a lot of arms they're talking about right here.
Yeah, it's cool to just have prospects back again after no minor leagues last year.
Now, the Rockies farm system is ravished, and it's one of the worst in the majors, but Ilir Harris Montero, the third baseman, number 9 prospect in Double-A Hartford, he is he was actually a prize prospect piece in the Arenado deal. He put together his best game of this young season, went 3-for-5, a homer, a double, drove in 3 runs, scored once, and he has hits in all 3 games he's played in this season, with his slashing lines of 357, the Magnum, and then 400, 929. So,
dang.
Yeah. Talk about like the one decent prospect that Colorado has.
Yeah, it takes so much to build a farm system back up again. Yeah. And it's just, what does one player actually mean in baseball? It means nothing.
And their development, it's not like their development's been like astronomically amazing.
I'd say it's middling.
Yeah. I mean, they've developed some guys. Like, don't get me wrong, McMahon. Actually, I was actually listening to something, so I need to backstep that. Colorado, I heard like a percentage number or something, but Colorado actually from, I think it was like 2008, 2010 was the starting year up until like couple years ago or last year, I think is when they stopped tracking it, but they actually got their guys on track to AAA and the majors more so percentage speaking wise than I think every other team in the majors. And they actually put like a lot of their farm. That's probably why that makes sense now. I mean, make their whole farm system's in the MLB. So they,
yeah, over the years, well, might they as well
rebuilt it. So
might as well see what they got.
But like Ryan McMahon, Ramel Tapia, like, you know, there's a couple things Tapia needs to clean up on. But obviously getting guys drafted in through your system like Arenado, I believe Blackman came up in their system. You know, they've – John Gray, you know, say what you want.
Yeah, Baldo a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
– yeah, they have – and
Trevor Story.
I like a lot of the pieces on their team. They have a lot of good pieces. I think they should be better than they are.
Yeah, it's just they have those pieces, but the pieces that they lost from last year are just so large.
Mm-hmm.
So just excruciating to lose. Let's talk about Pujols, man, because it kind of makes me sad.
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to resign. The Cardinals are already the favorite.
Yeah, I think that's the thing to do, to see him and Yachty. Like together again in the dugout would be pretty cool.
Yeah, imagine they bring him back. He plays every 3 days.
Yeah.
Well, he can't pinch hit, huh? Or I mean, he can't.
Yeah, because it's
he can't NL. DH.
Yeah.
It's the NL. So yeah, I imagine he goes there for one more swan song and then he's out at the end of the year.
Yeah. Which it's just like this guy. Like I've been watching Pujols since I was in elementary. You know.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Like. It was kind of the same thing for Ichiro. Like when Ichiro retired, I was like kind of bummed about it.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Johnson, Chipper Jones, you know, just those like 19, I guess Pujols ain't a 1990s player, but you know, like that era, early 2000s.
Yeah.
So it's just, it kind of sucks, you know?
It's like, crazy to see how bad he's been for the last handful of years and how good his career numbers still are.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just nuts.
I mean, this was the end of that 10-year contract. That was just a mega deal.
Dude, yeah. The Angels are really good at signing people past their prime.
Oh yeah. They're so good at, you remember John Lackey?
Yeah. Josh Hamilton.
Josh Hamilton.
Justin Upton. They got a bunch of them right now.
Yeah. That's funny. They did good on Rendon, though.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully he can be good for the next couple of years. But yeah, I like that one.
Actually, no, John Lackey started with the Angels. That was a real dumb comment of me.
I feel like
someone did pay for him, though, like, and they got nothing.
I feel like he went back to the Angels, but I might be wrong.
That sounds right too. John Lackey, he came and pitched with the Cubs for a little bit too, didn't he? I think
I'm thinking of a couple guys.
John Lackey. Yeah, he did. He's wearing a Cubs.
And he pitched for the Red Sox for a while too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cardinals, Red Sox, Angels. Pretty sure the Angels drafted him.
Oh, my internet's being very slow.
Yeah. Not important. I'm not sure how we got to the tangent of John Lackey, but we did. We're really talented at that.
He has one of my favorite gifts, though, if that means anything.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Okay. Baseball games. Let's do it. Weren't we going to talk about the Red Sox game?
Yeah.
I think that's where we started. And then we talked about John Means, and then we no hitter stats, and then Pujols and John Lackey. Okay. Anyways, Boston, Baltimore, Boston -157, over under 8.5. Blake's got a player prop he likes in this one. If I'm going to be looking at anything, I would look at the over because A, Boston's offense is just scorching right now. B, they're giving up a lot of runs right now. C, Matt Harvey's on the mound and Eduardo Rodriguez. The Orioles love left-handed pitching, and I went on their team total a couple days ago against the left-handed pitcher, and it was a no sweat. They're at 3.5 right now. That's kind of what I thought they would be. So I'm going to have a couple different plays because I'm behind schedule for getting my 162 in for the Baltimore or for the Boston Red Sox. So I'm going Baltimore over 3.5 as the team total. I'm going to go ahead and grab over 8.5 in the full game also. Blake.
Okay. I like the Red Sox total runs over 4.5. That's what my initial go-to was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I'm not mad at that one.
Especially they hit. Yeah. They hit right-handed hitting really well, especially JD Martinez.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. Yep. Wink, wink. Indeed.
Nudge, nudge.
And what was it? I think Matt Harvey's been worse against right-handed pitching so far this year, or right-handed hitting.
Yeah. So Alex Verdugo, Xander Bogaerts, JD Martinez all hit over 340 against righties. Verdugo has an 886 OPS, Bogaerts 995. Yeah. Christian Vasquez just quietly hitting 318 against righties. I mean, any overplay in this one, I think, is going to be the way to go. Matt Harvey.
Especially on the Red Sox side.
Right, exactly. Now, I watched a couple of Matt Harvey starts lately, and by golly, he actually looks like a decent pitcher. Like, he's setting his cutter and slider up off of the, front foot side away on right-handed hitters right now, and it's just deceptive and nasty looking. Just kind of, like, floats in front of their hip and, like, across their face and then catches just the outer part of that left side of the plate. So I am a little worried that Harvey's just going to come out and have an anomaly, great six-inning start, strike out 8 Red Sox. But I'm a worrywart. I always am. So
yeah, I think Matt Harvey's confusing me because I think he should be worse than he is, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he stays where he is because he's throwing his fastball. He leaves a fastball right down the middle constantly. And he throws it so much. And he's brought his sinker back. He didn't throw it for, a year?
Sinker,
he didn't throw it last year in 2020.
That's the pitch I was thinking of, not slider.
Yeah. But that pitch isn't doing very good either. It's not getting very good numbers.
It's not, huh? It just must have looked a lot more impressive. What do you have his arsenal in front of you? Is that what you're
sure do?
At? So what, he's 3-pitch pitcher?
Five.
I was like, he just doesn't throw a couple of them like hardly.
Yeah, it's because he brought his sinker back. Yeah, he doesn't throw his changeup very much, under 10%.
Right. Yeah. He just uses...
And even the curveball, yeah. So he's mostly a three-pitch pitcher.
He can just throw a different seam fastball and throw a different grip on it. He throws it slow enough. It's like a changeup. Get it to spin a different way. Pitching's crazy. It's just the science behind it.
You can look at it for hours and I still have no idea what's going on.
Right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So we got a bevy of decent little plays there in that game. Mm-hmm. Get this one out of the way. Pittsburgh Cubs, they're going to start at 1:20, which is 8 minutes from now. We're not getting to this one, obviously, folks, so we apologize. But it's the way it is. Minus 152 for the Cubs is a favorite. I don't think so. Pirates plus 132. I think there's value in that. Let's go ahead and get the Royals game out of the way. They're starting a series against the White Sox tonight, starting at 7:10. First guy on the mound for the White Sox, Carlos Rodon. That left-handed pitcher that's just throwing he's like this year's Giolito for the White Sox. How Giolito was so phenomenal last year and just dominant. Seems like they just passed the torch to one pitcher from the next in that staff.
Okay.
Over 8.5. I like over 8.5. Just going to need the Royals to score some runs. I feel like the White Sox are not going to have any issues, especially against Keller, his 8.06 ERA. A lot of people were expecting the White Sox to slow down after Luis Robert got hurt also. But I talked about Nick Madrigal, Yermin Mercedes, Tim Anderson. Like, those guys were the ones, the veteran, Yasmani Grandal. He still has some room to improve. But, you know, it's like those guys needed to step up, and they have. So I like the White Sox to help fuel a total going over in this game tonight. And 4.5 on the White Sox team total. I think that's got some justifiable reasons to get down on it too.
Yeah, that's definitely where I would lean if I had to.
Yeah.
I don't see the Royals doing much against Rodon.
They do hit lefties really well. Like, if you're going to put them against one side or the other, you want them to hit against lefties. But this guy's just... He's pitching at another level right now.
Yeah, he's finally become what we want him to be.
Right, yeah. Because the last couple of years, he struggled quite a bit.
Yeah, he has, but this year he's turned it on. He's top percentiles in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. He's like, he's a power pitcher, but he can also be deceptive and nasty too.
Yeah.
He's got a little Glasnow in him.
He very much does, yeah.
The Glasnow is half full.
Yeah, nice. He throws his fastball up high and he throws a slider down low.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to do. If you can command it, it's unstoppable.
And his tailing action. You know, he can throw his four-seamer off of the plate and it'll kind of cut back in. It's just really, really sexy.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Pitching porn.
Pitching porn.
Like food.
Dude, there's
porn.
A market for everything on OnlyFans.
That trend. Hey, the food porn thing was hey, Blake, I think we got $1 million idea here, bud.
No, I agree. There's a market for everything.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's associated with porn.
Yeah, just put the word porn on it.
Yeah. I mean, people love food, but look at what the hell they did and flipped out on with like the food porn stuff.
Yeah. You goodbye, Hoopball. Hello, pitching porn.
Pitching porn. Be like a side segment where we break down.
Yeah,
slow.
I'll talk to
footage.
Dan about it.
Yeah, we'll pitch the idea to him.
He'll be fine.
We'll pitch the pitch porn idea to him. Washington, New York. Patrick Corbin is terrible. Jameson. I'm just gonna say Jameson because you know alcohol. Jameson Taillon. And, you know, he's been in the league for a while, and I know who this guy is, and I've listened to broadcasts where he's pitched, and I still just always forget, like, if it's a soft J, if it's a hard J. But Patrick Corbin being a left-handed pitcher with an 8.0 ERA in Yankee Stadium against the Yankees. I don't think we're looking at too much success for the Washington Nationals today.
Yeah, I don't know how they find success.
They're down Soto again. Or, well, he's questionable. I don't know if we have.
I would assume he's out. I assume he's out until he's in.
Another note I wrote in my index cards that are in my flannel chest pocket. No more Washington team totals without Soto.
Yeah, I can back that.
As much as I love Trey Turner, Victor Robles, Yan Gomes, Starlin Castro against lefties, the Nationals are one of the best hitting teams against lefties, and they couldn't even get their 3.5 runs yesterday.
Yeah, it's brutal.
I mean, they have guys that hit 400 against lefties, and they couldn't
even. They're untrustable.
Yeah. So, no Washington team totals with no Juan Soto. That is happening.
That's your motto.
Like, that is what we need to keep rolling with all year with the Nationals. They're already on my do not bet list as like a team in general. But, you know, like on sides and stuff. But, you know, team totals, they're starting to just like wear me thin in every department. I'm starting to just not like looking at these Nationals games.
Yeah, and that sucks because I feel like they're going to be good. Yeah. Once Soto gets back, they will be good.
Yeah.
And if Corbin can figure it out, what the hell is wrong with him?
The Nationals are +160 as an underdog, over under 9.5, getting even money, which I find strange.
What is even money?
9.5. And that's on Bovada, okay. Though.
Yeah, my bookie has 8.5 -115 for the over.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Hell yeah, my bookie. All right. Well, I'm jumping right on that. I was scrolling through my tabs. Didn't quite make it to my bookie yet. Yeah, that's a weird number for Bovada to roll out there.
Yeah, it is. I feel like the Nationals should be getting more money as the underdog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moneyline's +150. I feel like it should be like +180.
Yeah.
Because they're going to need all the luck they can to win this game.
Yankees, though, I think they got a couple guys banged up. Gio Urshela. I saw someone else on the injury report.
Oh, Urshela's still out? That sucks.
Odor. Odor is out indefinitely. And then Urshela is questionable.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. Odor's fine.
He's not like an offensive piece anyway.
No, he's not. Urshela, though, I like him a lot. He's going
to
be real good.
His bat was starting to come alive.
Yeah.
So, Minnesota, Detroit. 6:10 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Daylight Savings Time. CDT. Matt Shoemaker. God, he's terrible. Tarek Skubal. God, he's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, how do you handicap a game with such bad pitching? Like, do you just automatically jump on the over, even though it's Detroit and they just... Well, I mean, they actually scored a crap ton of runs.
No, I think they want you to automatically jump on the over.
Yeah. Under 9 is getting some shade. -115 on my bookie, -120 on Bovada.
Yeah, they want you to hit that over for sure.
Shoemaker's got a 7.83 ERA. Tarek Skubal, he's 0-4, 6.14 ERA.
Yeah, and his expected ERA is 9.
Jeez.
So he's doing better than he should be.
Like, it's got to be over or nothing, or is that too obvious?
I think that's too obvious. That's what they want.
But it's just these pitchers, though. Like, if the pitchers are... The wind.
Yeah, the weather, wind's blowing out.
Possible light rain. Yeah. I don't think you can mess with it with that possible light rain. That could turn into heavy rain. It could get more windy. They could just postpone the game. I think... Yeah. You just move on from that Minnesota.
Yeah, Detroit. I don't like any angle in that game.
Yeah, especially with the inclement weather. Weather. Mm. Battle of Ohio, Cincinnati, the Red Stockings, and Cleveland, the Indians. Wade Miley, the lefty, 2.67 ERA going against Zach Plesac, the righty, 4.78 ERA. Cincinnati's been struggling. They've been struggling a lot lately. Well, I say that, but they've just alternated wins and losses over their last five. But in their last 10, they're 5-5. Cleveland, one of the hotter teams in the majors, and they're 8-2 in their last 10. They're scoring a lot of runs right now, the Cleveland Indians are. They're 7-2-1 to the over in their last 10 games. And if I'm going to be looking at anything here, you know, go with the hot bats, you know? Like, I'm not picking a side. Minus 145 for Cleveland seems a bit juicy for me. Over, like I said, over under 8 right now. Getting some shade, minus 115 to the over. So I'd probably look at the over. And then I'd also look at a team total. Don't think we have any posted right now for Cincinnati and Cleveland. Trying to find them. But first glance, I'm looking at the over because, well, the Indians' bats are just too hot right now. And they hit lefties pretty dang well. Jose Ramirez specifically, Carlos Hernandez. His OPS is decent. Austin Hedges is still getting worked into this lineup. Jordan Luplow shows sneaky power. Naylor, that guy can hit a home run every other at bat. I mean, he barrels up balls pretty well, and he's seeing the ball well right now. So I might look to hold and see what a team total for Cleveland would be.
Team total for Cleveland is over 4.5 plus 105.
You got it there. Okay.
I kind of like that. I think Wade Miley's been sneaky good this year, but I think it's going to run out eventually.
Yeah. I wonder here, bear with me, listeners, because we're going to deep dive this one a little bit. I'm going to pull up some specific like pitcher batter history. Let's see what Mr. Miley's done against this Cleveland team in the past. Just doing some scrolling. Doing some scrolling.
Scroll.
Scrolling.
Eh. Not a lot of plate appearances against Miley.
No,
not against nothing exciting in any direction.
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing that. Jose Ramirez has 12 or 10 at-bats.
Yeah, 2-for-10.
Rene Rivera, 14 at-bats. He might be a sneaky play. They might platoon him into the lineup. Rene Rivera. 5 hits, 14 at-bats. 786 OPS. Eddie Rosario, he's a smart hitter. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like what Cleveland's doing right now, and I like enough of it to back the total.
Yeah, but against left-handed pitching, they're really not that great.
Yeah. They just have a couple of guys that stick out.
Yeah, but it's nothing super exciting.
I didn't find as much as I was hoping to.
And yeah, I thought I would like the Indians a lot here, and I still do.
And then also Votto's out for the Reds.
Yeah, he broke his thumb.
Oh, damn. I didn't realize.
Dude, he handled that like a beast.
Oh, yeah. Fractured thumb. Yep.
Yep.
Oh, yep. There it is.
He, like, shook his hand, said a cuss word, and then he took off to first.
Yeah. Did he get hit?
Yeah, he got hit.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, I had a really bad thumb injury, so I always hate thinking about those.
Yeah, it looked nasty. It was like hit his thumb straight on, like when you jam your thumb kind of thing.
Jammed it,
hit it like that.
Ow. Yep. So I was running a curl route in high school, and when I busted out of my curl, my freaking cleat came out from under me, so I shoved my hand in the ground before the ball came at me. Still caught the ball, I will say.
All right.
But when I threw my hand down in the ground, I led with my thumb. And kind of like that baseball, it just like took my thumb all the way, like cocking a gun, you know?
Nasty.
I cocked my thumb. Oh, dude, I can still get it to do some wicked stuff. But yeah, that was such a weird feeling. It was like that whole right side of my hand was stuck, you know, because it was just like, ugh, yeah. Anyways, sports injuries. Okay, so not a ton of value on that game, and I don't really like a position on that. At first glances, I was like, ooh, Battle of Ohio. I got to get in on this. The over probably is going to happen. I like Cleveland. Look what they just did to the Royals.
I see something I think you might like. Your boy Winker. If he gets a little winker dinker, he's going against he's hitting right. He's pretty damn good this year.
Yeah, he is. And
yeah, a lot of home runs.
Well, he's only got 5 at bats against Plesac, no hits.
Yeah.
1 strikeout.
So I'd be interested to see what kind of pitches he hits well.
Yeah, that's why I say I wonder if it's just the way Plesac stuff moves for him or what.
I mean, it's only 5 at bats. It's fairly negligible.
Yeah, I mean, we could throw that out. But if he's going to get like 3 official at bats tonight, how much could we expect that 5 to extrapolate out to 8?
I don't think you can much.
Yeah. I think, man, I don't know. That's what is so weird about numbers and probability is like, because each argument can be the same. You're like, oh, it could teeter here. This is where it could, you know, flop.
Yeah, of course.
But then you're like, oh, but this is where it, you know, elongates and where we can remain holding value in this and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you know, Plesac relies on his fastball the most. Almost 40% Winker is balling against fastballs. He's got a 466 wOBA. And then Plesac second pitch is the slider. Give me 2 seconds. Update.
If Winker hits sliders damn well. Yeah.
Middling.
I was going to say, he's just like a fastball guy.
He's got a 0.3 wOBA or a 3 wOBA against sliders.
Yeah. Well, listeners, I'm sure you can hear my neighbors chopping their lawn, so I apologize. But I forgot to shut my back door.
And my daughter's yelling at me.
So this is what we got going on right now, guys. Daughters, lawnmowers, all that.
Much rather have a daughter than a lawnmower.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you. Okay. So holding on the Winker stuff, I want to like that Charlie Day meme from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where he's got like he's trying to figure out the who pooped in the bed episode or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he's got like the crazy like red string like board going on. Like, that's me with my sports bets.
Yeah, I feel you there.
Arizona, New York. Zach Gallen, Drew Peterson, lefty. You might have to uncover something for me on David Peterson. I'm sorry. I think there is a Drew Peterson in the league. David Peterson with a 4.81 ERA. I don't think he's that good, but I think over his last like start or two, he's had some decent success. So as far as his peripherals go, I'm just not sure what he's expecting to do or expected to do. Arizona does light lefties up pretty well, just based off average and upgrades and certain guys. Nick Ahmed becomes a non-offensive threat to an offensive threat. Eduardo Escobar, great hitter. Carson Kelly hitting 438 against lefties. Josh Rojas, who's been in because they've been without David Peralta. But Rojas hitting 294 against lefties, 822 OPS. Pavin Smith, I'm going to go with.
I would say Pavin.
Pavin.
Pavin's like, dumb.
Pavin a road.
Yeah.
250, you know, modest against lefties, 763 OPS. So Arizona, against the Mets. I mean, I don't really like David Peterson that much. The Mets are pretty sorry. I think I could back an underdog in the Diamondback. I mean, they've lost three in a row. They got swept by the Marlins. I think it's time to get one.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised the Diamondbacks are the underdog. I mean, they're barely the underdog, but I'm still a little bit surprised they are. It's just got to be because they're on the road.
So they're 9-9 on the road this year. So no true actual stuff. Here's one, though. Against the spread, they're 11-7 on the road.
Okay.
Not sure what the run line juice is. We can get back to it. How about this? The Mets over-under record at home, 0-8-2.
The Mets at home are
0-8.
They've gone over 8 times, or they've gone under 8 times.
With 2 pushes.
Yeah, it's because their offense sucks.
Yeah.
And because DeGrom pitches half those games, or, you know, 20% of those games.
I wonder, as I say, there's 10 games there. He's got at least 2 of those starts at home.
Yeah. Their best hitter in DeGrom only hits every 5 games.
Hoop ballers.
I say that half.
Let's
ingest,
talk about your balls.
Half.
Yep. Your balls and the area around them. Let's talk about manscaped.com. Go there and use promo code HOOPBALL20, HOOPBALL20. Use the promo code and go check out all the tools they have of trimming the hedges and taking care of your lawn. Like the Lawnmower 3.0 with a built-in LED light to help you get into those dark thigh crevices on the inner parts. Also, the Gooch. It is hard to get to the Gooch if you can't see it. So use the LED light with the anti-tugless technology on the razor. Full long battery life. Then check out the Weed Whacker. Bring that out of the shed. Use it on your shrubs. Cut down what you need down to bare minimum if you need to. It's got a nice anti-tugless technology just like the Lawnmower 3.0. It's also got a lithium battery. And best news of all, these things are waterproof, so that way you can do it in the shower and take care of business in the cleanest way possible. HoopBall20 is the promo code that's going to get you free shipping as well as 20% off. I recommend using it. I recommend getting the complete care kit with your free shipping and your 20% off. Spend a little extra, get a lot more. There's a good care kit there for us gentlemen. Face scrub, shampoo, ball treatment, and the area that surrounds our balls. I believe there's even a pair of underwear in there for our balls. So yeah, that's going to conclude the talk about our balls. Now let's talk about bets. MyBookie.ag is where all the hoop ballers take care of their winnings and where we place all of our wagers that we post in our article in the Wager Pass, as well as our free plays and our Discord chats. Yes, MyBookie.ag. Use promo code HOOPBALL, HOOPBALL. Let them know that we sent you. Hell, specifically type in my name. I want them to know. But most importantly, you got to let them know what podcast that is. And it is Today in Sports Betting. You let them know that we sent you. And then we, as a family, get to grow. And then we get to set you up to reap more benefits. And that is what's important to us, because we are here to help you win money. And that is why we recommend MyBookie. Their slogan is bet, win, get paid. And it's quite simply that easy. Use Bitcoin to get going. It's a high recommendation of VM Center at Vince Miracle, our guy. It's a recommendation of me. It's so easy. Dan Bespris, the podfather, Aaron Brewski, the godfather, they get in there, they get going with Bitcoin, they get their money in and out, and it's easy peasy. HoopBall's the promo code. Use that. Let them know that we sent you. MyBookie.ag. Bet, win, get paid. Now, as a podcast, we have your balls and your bets covered. And without further ado, we have Today in Sports Betting. and very empathetic. Here it goes. Can you help me out?
What are you trying to say? Empathetic?
Emphasize, like emphasizingly. Oh my.
Yeah. Emphasis?
Yeah, that was embarrassing. I couldn't figure out the conjugation.
Yeah, you're embarrassing us both.
Oh man. I'm so used to it though. It's all good.
Yeah, it's fine. Whatever.
All I have on my face is this handlebar mustache. So now people can actually see me like blush a little bit. So.
Yeah, I like the Diamondback side of this.
Yeah, for sure. I think David Peterson, getting swept against another NL East team, they're going to be like, all right, let's get back to 500. If I'm going to go pitcher versus pitcher, I mean, Gallen, obviously I like him a bit more. Mets against righties, very subpar, just par, mediocre. So, there's value in the Diamondbacks as an underdog is all we're saying on this slate.
Yeah, I agree.
Can't say it's a lock or anything, but, yeah.
The only good thing Dave Peterson does is strike people out.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that's kind of based on luck. He throws everything right down the middle.
Yeah. In Arizona, look at their slugging numbers. I talk about it all the time. They got some sluggers in there. They got some great contact hitters. They stretch singles into doubles. And if they can get a good start out of their starting pitcher, I say that lightly because their bullpen might give up like 7 runs.
Yeah, that might be a first half kind of bet right there.
Yeah, yeah. But for value's sake, I believe there's value on Arizona's side. Milwaukee,
I agree.
Miami. I don't think I'm too high on this one as far as a betting angle. I believe we have a phenomenal lefty-on-lefty pitching matchup here with Suter and Trevor Rogers, who's just been dominating for Miami. He did get roughed up a decent amount his last start. He looked a little, wonky. His control was bad, walked a lot of guys. But when he's on, and, Milwaukee's without Christian Yelich again, I think this is a spot to maybe back. But Miami is -140. There's no way. There's no way. Because they can't hit either. There's no way I'm going to go -140 with the Marlins in this one.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever trust the Marlins.
+125.
All the way.
For Milwaukee. Nah.
Yeah, it's weird the Marlins are the favorite.
And so heavily favorited.
Yeah, so what are we missing? What's the reasoning?
I think it's honestly the Yelich thing.
You think
it'd be pre-baked, but I mean, that's a very big piece. Because they have one of their better pitchers on the mound in Suter. Like, it's not like
they're
completely wonkied out that way.
And he's kind of a Kyle Hendricks of sort.
Yeah.
He doesn't throw the ball hard. He relies on location and command.
And I think a lot of the Marlins hitters, specifically like Duvall and Jesus Aguilar and Brian Anderson, they rely on fastballs because they like to barrel them up and they got power.
Yeah, I mean, he throws a lot of fastballs. Brent Suter throws it 63% of the time, his four-seamer.
Oh, okay.
And he only throws it 88 miles an hour.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it's a slower one.
Yeah, it's a slower one. And he leaves it up in the strike zone.
Man.
Yeah, he's got a weird little pitch mix here.
Yeah.
How can you throw the ball 88 miles an hour and throw it over 60% of the time?
Because it moves good.
Does it? Let's look. No, it doesn't.
No?
It doesn't move at all.
Huh. I don't know then.
It's like bottom 5 percentile in movement, horizontally and vertically.
That's ridiculous. So it's literally I have no idea. 88 mile. I don't know. That's really.
I have no idea how he's had success this year.
Is it his arm angle? He does have a weird arm angle, if I remember right. Maybe it's the arm angle.
It's got to be.
or a delivery thing. The littlest things just throw hitters off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get to that.
Philly, Atlanta, I don't really want to talk about unless you do. And then if you do, have at it, bud. It's going to be a solo Blake party.
No, I'll roll with you here.
Okay, good. I just can't. I can't, man. Philly's on my do not bet list in every angle. Atlanta's getting there too. I'm good.
Atlanta's offense just all or nothing. So they're a hard team to cap.
Yeah. I just can't.
They'll put up 13 or they'll put up 2.
Yeah. Or none.
Or none.
You know, Freddie Freeman burned me the other night on the prop. So I'm good. I did hit Atlanta's team total the other night when Yanoa was starting because he had that grand slam.
Oh.
So, I mean, there's the bright spot.
I forgot he had that grand slam.
I was like, all right, cool. I'll take it. Not how I was expecting to get it, but. Let's talk about your Mariners taking on the Rangers. Got Chris Flexen. Mike Foltynewicz, Folty on the mound.
Folty.
Foltynewicz. I always thought his name was pretty fun to say. Foltynewicz. You can always say it like differently every time.
Yeah, it is weird.
I mean, Chris Flexen's been decent for
you. Yeah, I wonder where he's.
Chris Flexen.
Yeah, he's been a good enough fill-in, I guess.
I mean, sub 3.5 ERA.
Yeah, he's been good. I don't feel like it's going to last, but he's been good.
Yeah. I could definitely get down on the under in this game, even though Foltynewicz is pitching. For reasons stated at the top of the show. No more betting on overs in Seattle games because of the bullpen. My only thing is Folty going to give up 6 runs in the first 5 innings?
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Same. But honestly, I was looking back, and I've missed on a lot of overs in Texas games, and they actually have gone under a decent amount. Seattle definitely has, because you guys have got, you know, good pitching right now. And, yeah, both of these teams – all right, so the Mariners 12-16-2 in regards to over-under record. 13-18-1 for the Rangers. So 34 combined unders for these two teams. And the last 10, both teams have gone 3-7 to the under. Texas 4-12 in regards to over-unders at home.
They're 4-12 to the under?
Yeah. So whenever... And I always have to explain this to because I say it so weirdly. But whenever I'm referring to like over-unders and I say like, yeah, their over-under is 4-12. I'm pretty much just stating it as 4 overs, 12 unders.
4 or 12 unders, yeah.
Correlating to that column.
I think that makes sense.
So yeah, lots of unders for these two teams.
Yeah, Texas does not score nearly as many runs at home. Almost 2 less runs per game at home.
Their team total is 4.5. Under's getting some shade at -120.
Yeah, take the under on that.
I'm going to roll full game under. Probably going to regret it after the first 2 innings.
Yeah, as we tend to do.
But, I mean, Texas is terrible at home offensively. Your Mariners have this great bullpen going right now. Chris Flexen, if he can just get the job done for 5-6 innings. And no offense, but y'all's offense ain't that great either.
Oh, sure. Freaking isn't.
So I think that's a good spot there.
Yeah, I like it. Rangers don't hit righties very well.
Mm-mm. Especially Gallo.
Yeah. Gallo's
not good against them.
Sub 200.
Yeah. Not good.
Yeah. Mariners don't hit righties very well either. Shit.
Featuring Lawich Little. Toronto, Houston. Ross Stripling, Urquidy, Urquidy. Another name.
Urquidy, Urquidy.
It's your kitty.
Don't say that.
get him in the litter box.
That's
Honestly, just based off pitching alone, without deep diving in this one, you know, because we got a few games here, but we should probably wrap up soon. But Toronto, Houston, Ross Stripling, your kitty. I'm seeing a whole lot of love within the market and the industry on him today. Seeing some metrics and numbers and stuff that look good. Toronto was just involved in that offensive showcase of a series against Oakland, and that was exciting. And I think it's time for their bats to maybe come back to life or come back to earth a little bit. Ross Stripling's at 6.3 ERA on the year. And George Springer out indefinitely again. Joe Panik, questionable, important infield piece for depth reasonings. And then you've got the Astros that have Alvarez, Gurriel, and Brantley all hitting over 300 against righties. You've got multiple 9 and 800 OPSs throughout this lineup for the Astros. I think where I like this spot, what spot I like here. Man, nope, never mind. 5 runs, that's a lot. I was hoping I could get 4.5 for Houston.
Yeah, I don't know what angle I would like in this game either.
Like Houston straight up, but I mean, minus 145, it's like not helpful. And we were talking about the underdogs at the top of the show, but I mean, it is Friday, so.
That's true. I don't know what that means really, but.
Well, underdogs have been terrible on Fridays this season.
Yeah.
According to G-Dog.
I'm sure there's some science behind it, but I don't think it's anything.
This is a tough one.
I don't like this game.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel the same. Like, I stared at that minus 145 for a good while.
I think the Astros should win this game.
You know, just like a $10 bet on the minus 145 to clear in a little bankroll. Like, I could see that happening.
Where is this game on my bookie? I lost it. There it is. Sheesh.
What's my bookie got it at? I was looking at consensus odds.
It's got 145 on the money line.
Yeah.
Plus 135 on the run line.
Plus 135.
Yeah.
Nah. Can't be getting down with that.
I don't like anything about this game. Maybe the Astros first 5 run line. Minus 110. I think they should light up Ross Stripling.
I think we got enough sample size now that I can start jumping back into first 5 bets. I was thinking about that yesterday. I was like, man, I just want to play. Like, I love first 5 bets. I played them a lot last year.
Yeah, Astros have a couple of guys that hit righties very well. Yordan Alvarez, Brantley, and Gurriel are all over 300 against righties alone.
So
it's in a dome, so weather means nothing to us.
I think that's a good spot for Houston. They struggled in their last series.
Yeah, I think they're happy to be out of New York.
Yes, absolutely.
Heard enough booing from them.
Yeah, that was a rough series for them.
Yeah, they deserve it.
Yep.
This to be fair, true. I think every team probably deserves it. I think they're all cheating. Yeah, but that's another day.
In some way. Dodgers, Angels, battle for L.A. Do you want to talk about this one? Urias on the Griffin Canning.
No, not really.
Okay.
Griffin Canning has burned me many a time.
I will say over 8.5 looks nice to me. I think that with how terrible Canning has been and with the bullpen issues with Los Angeles or the Angels.
Yeah.
some runs can be scored in this. Dodgers bat's been a little dormant lately. Time for them to wake up. So wouldn't be shocked if the team scored 8 runs themselves for some reason. I got a feeling.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Take the Dodgers team total over.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it? Dodgers over 4.5 minus 1.
Yeah. I think that's a really great number there.
30.
Yeah. That's a great number. Really good number. Tampa Bay, Oakland. I feel very anticlimactic today because it's like I'm seeing a lot of these games and it's like I just want to watch the baseball of it. And it's this is one of them.
It's that tweet you saw from your boy Giles earlier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's gotten you down.
Got me in my moody blues. Tampa Bay, though, their money lines come down from 122 to plus 110. Over under set at 7.5. We got Rich Hill and Sean Manaea on the mound. 7.5 is an egregiously low number. That is such a low number. And for
what's the number? I lost it for a second. That is a low number. And I don't hate it. I don't hate the under.
I mean, Rich Hill had a pretty decent start last time out. Oakland against lefties. Jed Lowry hits good. And that's about it. And Ramon Laureano.
And Rich Hill, I keep wanting to fade him, but he just keeps doing it.
Yeah, I faded him too good. I tried fading him last time, and it did not work.
Yeah, and I still enjoy watching him.
Yeah, man, get Anthony Desclafani out of Cincinnati and look at how he pitches in a pitcher's ballpark. He's 2-1 on the year and a 2.00 ERA for the Giants. And they're going against San Diego tonight. This is the last game on the card. Blake Snell, the lefty, 1-0, 3.51 ERA. And the total for this one is 7.5 also. Minus 140 for San Diego. Minus 1.5 run line at plus 125 for the Pawpaws. Lots of questionable tags for the Giants. Wilmer Flores, Alex Dickerson, sad face. Buster Posey.
Mm-hmm.
Padres against righties. Decent. Like, not a complete downgrade. Trent Gresham still hits over 300 against him. I think I got to back the Padres tonight. Desclafani's been great. But Blake Snell's starting to get back to Blake Snell.
I was kind of leaning the other way. I was leaning towards the Giants on this one.
I was too originally, but then I looked and saw, you know, who they're potentially going to be down or not at 100% with. Posey's been like, I don't know what he drank, but he's got, I think, 9 or 10 home runs on the year. He's tied atop the NL leaderboard. And then he's just swinging the bat like he was in his, you know, all-star days. He is just crushing. But Dickerson's pretty big piece for the Giants. I mean, they'll get like Darren Ruff or Slater in there. Both those guys have sneaky contact, good OPS. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I don't I'm not hating it. I'm seeing a pro grade, you know, like a odds line of B minus. The odds of plus 125, what I'm seeing is the line should be more of plus 107. So you might be onto something, Blake.
I got plus 125 and I like it a lot, actually, especially if Buster's in.
Yeah, if Buster's in, it changed. If Buster's in, I'm not on the Padres. Buster and Alex Dickerson are in, I'm definitely not on the Padres.
You know, the thing that's made Blake Snell so good over these years as that fastball and where he locates at the top of the zone, but it's been in the middle of the zone. Way too much this year. The Giants hit fastballs pretty dang good. Evan Longoria on the year, on the fastball, is over 500 wOBA.
Jeez.
Buster Posey, the same thing. Brandon Crawford, the same thing. All over 500 on the wOBA, on the fastball.
And then Posey and Longoria both hit over 400 against lefties.
Yeah.
Longoria hits 478.
And, you know, Blake Snell's fastball is better than everybody else's for the most part, but he's not locating it this year.
What if he locates it tonight?
I know. See, that's that worrisome right there.
I mean, with a pitcher as good as him, you know.
Yep.
Chances are he knows what's going on, too. I don't know.
So
that's a tough one. I was a lot more beefy on the Padres until you started talking about all that wOBA.
It's a lot of wOBA. And let me, give you patient with me. They got lit up in the last game. Who did they play in the last game? The Padres.
Padres. Yeah, he did.
He got lit up.
It was, he didn't start in the series against the Pirates, did he?
It was on the first. It was on May 1st.
That was
his last start. That was the Giants.
6-2.
Ooh, and they lit him up. Yeah, they hit his fastball. They hit his fastball, 433 wOBA.
Oh, wait.
625 slugging.
Padres won 6-2. I'm sorry. I was looking at the Padres roster.
Oh, well, they hit Snell fairly well.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm pulling the box score up from that game real quick. I want to see how many pitches he threw. Slater went 0-for-4 last time against him. Ruff, we were talking about Ruff, had a 2-for-3 day with an RBI and a strikeout. Posey, 1-for-3. Longoria went 0-for-2. Had two walks, though. All right, so let's look at some pitching. Snell went 5 innings, 91 pitches, 5 hits, 2 runs, 1 earned, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts.
So nothing exceptional in any direction.
Oh, wow. Desclafani was the other starting pitcher.
Oh, so we got a rematch, huh?
Last time, too. And his line went 6 innings, 76 pitches. Dang. And then it just all fell apart the last few batters he faced. 3 hits, 3 runs, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, 3 Ks.
Okay.
So it was like the very first part of the seventh that he went out for. He shouldn't have.
Yeah, I wonder if that's a normal thing for Disco.
It is a rematch. That's neat.
What's weird is Desclafani has the first 2 innings is where he's had the most trouble this year.
And then he
7 of his 8 total earned runs this year have been in the first 2 innings.
I didn't even look at the scoring in the box score in that last one, but if I just assumed that it was maybe he got roughed up early and then just started sitting a bunch of people down. But I thought
that must have been what happens. He's only given up 1 earned run after the second inning this year.
Oh my God. Yeah, then that's what it was. Had to have been.
That's some interesting stuff right there.
Yeah, Padres had a 3 inning first or 3 run first inning.
There you go. So it was all in that game then.
Wow.
So you can look at pitching forever and still not and be even more confused than you were going into it.
And it was Machado that homered with Tatis and Trent Gresham on the base.
That was all in the first inning.
Yeah. And then Yurickson Profar hit a solo shot in the 8th. So not against Disco.
So it wasn't against him now.
And then the 8th, Cronenworth singled, Hosmer scored, Tatis scored.
I like the Giants.
I like the Padres still.
Man. Because maybe we can make a personal bet. I don't know what.
Yeah, I agree.
Giants first 5. plus 125 on the money line.
Are you going to do that though?
I don't know. I don't love first five money lines because there's too many ties.
Especially if Disclafani has, you know, a nuclear just second inning, gives up like four runs. Like that would just,
yeah,
that kills it right there.
It appears if he gets past the first two innings, then it's smooth sailing after that.
Which is weird because usually it's like hitters in like the third inning, fourth inning, like when they get to see the pitcher again and again, like that's when the hitters start doing better. But it's opposite for Disco.
Yeah. And he's gone four innings every time.
At least.
Five innings. All but one.
Man, this is a tough one, but I feel like there's something there for both of us, like on both sides. You know? Like if you wanted to go Giants team total.
Dude, I might take Giants money line on this one.
Yeah.
Plus 125, that's too much.
They're close to even money as far as value speaking. So how about I take the Padres, you take the Giants, and if you win, I tell you good job.
And you send me your you send me that gift you got from Manscaped.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, wind is blowing out almost the right center field at 14 miles an hour.
Which in San Fran, that's towards McCovey Bay.
Yeah, I like Giants money line on this one. So that means you're going to be right. So congratulations, you win.
We'll see how it goes. All right, board bet. Put it on the board.
Board bet.
I got the Padres. Blake's got the Giants.
We're going to have to make a board because this is our first real big disagreement.
Yeah.
It's all dependent on Blake Snell's fastball, really.
Yeah.
I think it's where he all dependent on that.
And Disco's first two innings.
Yep.
So very fun things to keep an eye on, just baseball speaking wise. Like, so as we gain this data and, you know, we are looking at things presently, but as we, you know, move into the team's next game and like other positions to find value in.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, hey, the Cubbies are winning 2-0 in the bottom of the second.
Yeah, I saw that. Go Cubbies.
Hey, you can score some runs on the Pirates. Good job. Congratulations.
Yeah, I could almost do that.
I still can't believe people were trying to say that they're going to win the division this year.
The Cubs? Well, they did last year, didn't they?
Technically, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they did. It was, you know, no one cares because who cares about 2020?
Yeah. And then they got first round bounced by the Marlins.
Ugh, Marlins.
Like they just shut the bats down. It was gross.
Yeah, that's how the Marlins win.
I do like the Marlins though.
I do too.
Fun team. Well, Blake, we got a full MLB card. We talked about every single game, every single team, a lot of players, a lot of things, a lot of numbers, a lot of angles. I don't think we need to dip into any light NBA stuff like we talk about with you and I on the show. Super volatile.
Yeah, if you want NBA, just get a wager pass and go to Aaron Brewski.
Right, because what he's like Troy and Dan. Yeah. Here, let me pull his record up. We got it right here. It's get ready for this, y'all. This is ridiculous. Let's see what it is. We didn't update it from yesterday. Hold on, I saw it. It was like 102 and 60, 101 and 76.
That's crazy.
That's his post All-Star game break record. Just post All-Star game.
Yeah, and when does he do all his research? Do you do it like 2 in the morning?
He gets it as soon as it comes out. He's always the first one in the wager pass.
He is, absolutely. Even when I post my plays at 4 in the morning before I go to work, he's already got 6 plays up.
Yeah. Like, this is what makes Bruce such a mastermind. Like, I'm going to read off his plays in the wager pass. Well, I can't do that. I'm going to tell you how much line movement there's been. since he uploaded his plays. And it happens every time because he overnights, but he's always right. The Celtics game has had 2 points of movement in his favor. The Jazz game has had a point and a half of movement in his favor. Yeah, and that's every play. You know, he gets it in early, gets it in way ahead of everyone, way ahead the market corrections, and like I said, post All-Star break, 101-76. That's a winning percentage. That is a winning percentage. So, all right, bud. I say we wrap this one up so we can get ourselves situated to indulge in some baseball. I see the Discord blowing up from Keith, Mr. at G1 Innsburg B3 ATS. So it's Ginsburg Beats with a G1 and a B3.
Mm-hmm.
I got some basketball props I need to go snag. I've got some baseball stuff I need to research. And I guess I got to edit this show too. So there's that. But we got some baseball to check in on our Friday night, bud.
Yeah, we got a lot going on today.
Yeah. And then we just get to roll right into tomorrow, to Saturday.
Weekend, so. Yep.
Sunday. I've been enjoying Sunday baseball a lot lately.
I wish I could. I'm at work until they're all done pretty much.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Hate that for you.
Yeah, I get off and there's a Sunday night game, thankfully.
Yeah, at least there's one. All right. Well, he's at Blake LaWatch, LAWATCH. I'm at DALE007. And we are at Hoopball Gaming together collectively in a fun joint effort. And then hoop-ball.com, of course. Go over there, check the website out. Please do not forget about the 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. You'll see it tagged. You'll see a link. You'll see all that in the show description. 5-star reviews, screenshot it, send it to me, send it to Blake, send it to Dan, send it to Hoopball Gaming. Find someone and just send it to us because it's going to get you a chance to win some money. Free, no strings attached, friends with bets, FWB, money. You want your money to have benefits and you want to be able to win more money with it. So we're just trying to give you money so you can start building a bankroll and grow with us here. So take it and run with it is what I say. And for that, this is Friday's edition. So we will be back Monday. I believe Vince will be back at the helm on Mondays. He's been
big promotion, man.
Yeah. He's been just, not able to even pay us any mind, which is okay because life comes first, and got a huge upgrade in work life from his words. So congrats to Vince at VM Center, our guy over here. He will be back in the lab with us starting next week. And then I leave the lab. I leave next weekend to go to Georgia for a few days. So I will be missing 2 weeks from now for a few days, a couple days. So that's why we got a great team. That's why we got these folks built up. Like, we got to have it. Y'all got to have the content. So it's what we want you to have. So Blake, I do not want the Giants to win. And with that being said, I hope you have a great night.
Yeah, man. It's going to be the first game to end in a tie in 100 years.
Yeah. What?
Not counting All-Star games.
Like, it just like ends because of like.
Yeah, it'll end in eighth inning after rain, and then they'll call it a tie.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we both lose. That'd be fitting.
Or we both win.
No, we'll both lose.
All right, optimist.
Life's not that good.
Optimist Prime. All righty, bud. All right, well, let's get this one rolled out, and going to start unraveling this red carpet for these listeners' ears. And as always, I am sending you all of my good vibes and all of my good energies, except for Blake's Giants tonight. And we will see you back on the next one. Y'all be safe, be kind, and find something nice out there to do over the weekend for someone. Blake, take care, bud. We'll see you around, all right?
Yeah, later, man. I'll see you.
Awesome.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.